afternoon and welcome listeners to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road, just across from DP&L in Moraine. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call down at the range at 937-293-3914, and our staff will be more than glad to take care of any of your firearms-related needs. I want to encourage our listeners, if you'd like to get on the air today, please give us a call at 457-1290. Again, that's 457-1290 if you'd like to get on the air today, and we'd be glad to discuss with you anything that you're interested in talking about. I know the last couple of weeks there have been quite a few newsworthy events, and I want to let our listeners remind our listeners that this will be our last broadcast, except for two over the next 10 to 12 weeks, depending on how the UD football team does. But every year we get preempted by UD football, their regular season schedule, and we have we will have a remote broadcast from the Airport Expo Dayton Women's Fair on September 21st. That's September 21st from the Airport Expo, the Dayton Women's Fair. And then we will probably be on the air, or I should say possibly, because schedules do change. UD has an away game out west, I believe, on October 19th.
It's actually a local game, but it's an evening.
That's what it is. It's an evening game, so it won't necessarily interfere
they said
with
it
our
for,
schedule.
Viewing in the afternoon in San Diego, who they'll be playing.
Oh, I see. Okay, so that'll be October 19th. So September 21st, October 19th, and then we should, again, depending on the length of UD's playoff run at the end of the season, we should be back on the air for our regularly scheduled weekly show on November 23rd, which will be the Saturday before Thanksgiving. And I want to remind our listeners right now, because it's always a big event, we will be having a huge Black Friday sale going into the Christmas season. We've done this the last couple years. It's been a tremendous success for us. It's obviously been a great opportunity for our listening audience to come out and get some great bargains. But by way of inventory reduction and also getting hold of a lot of hard-to-get inventory, we were able to have some very nice items for people to purchase at very good prices.
Really been a while since we've been able to get good inventory on things that people have wanted, and finally some of that stuff is breaking through, and by that time we may even have more ammunition available. So that, you know, those are all things that are headed in the right direction on that aspect.
And then inventory is starting to roll, and things do look good, but please take an opportunity to stop by. And what we're going to do, we're going to try to put periodic updates on our Facebook page and on our web page, and then we'll be sending out emails to our membership. So if you're a member of the range, then make sure you get on the email list, because we're going to have some things coming up over the next several weeks. I will tell you that throughout September, we are having a Ruger promotion. Everybody that purchases a Ruger firearm, and we are very heavy with Ruger products right now, everything from the SR-556, we have the Takedown 22 rifles. We're supposed to get delivery, if you haven't heard, of the brand new, newly manufactured 22 bolt action American rifles. Just last week, they promoted, Ruger promoted that. They told us not to say much until Friday, and just Friday they released news and they said all orders are shipping, and I was able to get my hands on quite a few. But it's going to be a bolt action 22 in the Ruger American Rifle of the Year last year.
That's a great series.
Great gun. They're going to have it in the regular long barrel and in a compact version. So if you want to get one of those, we'll probably put at least one in the range program for people to shoot, and then we'll have several available. But we also have the LC9, the LCR.
LC380?
Not yet. Okay. That's been hard to get, quite frankly.
But maybe by that time.
The SR9 in limited quantity. Some of the SP101s probably toward the latter part of this month. But again, if you purchase a Ruger this month, you'll get entered into a drawing to win a Ruger pistol. Ruger was nice enough to send us, and the stuff's on the way. I talked to the rep yesterday, a variety of promotional materials like hats and T-shirts and things like that, and a firearm. So you'll be entered into that drawing. So if you come down to the range between now and the end of September, make sure you let them know if you purchase a Ruger that you want to get entered into the raffle.
For anybody who's not that familiar with our website and our show, you can go to sim-trainer.com, which Jeff mentioned earlier, but the radio page is sim-trainer.com/radio, And there's also a link there to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/simtrainer. And you can get information there. As on the homepage of our website, you can also sign up for our email. And you don't have to be a member of the range to sign up for that. That's for everybody who's interested in stuff that's going on down there. So you're welcome to sign up for that email. It's not a very high traffic list. And it's not something that anybody can send to, so you're not going to get spammed through it, and we obviously don't share that list with anybody.
I also want to remind our listeners, I just checked with Mark down at the range before I came in today, into the studio today, and he mentioned that there are still several spots available in the upcoming basic handgun classes. I think the next one is Thursday night, this next week, the 5th, and then the next one will be 3 weeks from tonight, or maybe... Yeah, I think it's 3 weeks from tonight. It's always the first Thursday and the third Saturday or something like that. But there are several spots available in those basic handgun classes. And the reason I mention that is we've had increased volume of enrollment in that class because what's so valuable about it is in addition to the instruction that you receive in the classroom about the basic functional operation and safe handling of firearms, you get to go out on the range and shoot a variety of guns that we've found in the years we've been in business to be some of the most reliable and easy to handle firearms on the market. And you get to go out and you basically go stall to stall. We have a couple guns set up in each stall and you go until you find the one you like and then you finish the class with the one you choose. So it's proven to be very useful. And just the other day I was talking to someone in the last five or six people, and I'm estimating that over the course of time, it's been about 90% of the people that come to us with a gun that either was referred to them or that they purchased end up getting something different after they have a chance to go through basic or a private lesson where we essentially accomplish the same thing because they find a gun that fits their hand, that's easy for them to operate as opposed to what the dealer might have in stock or what a friend thought they liked. So obviously we have a tendency to do that. We tend to say, well, I like SIG and so therefore I think you should have a SIG, or I like a Glock and I think you should have a Glock. They're both great guns, but what I like and what fits me well, quite frankly, probably won't be what you like and what fits you well. So please give us the opportunity, either in the participation in that basic class or through private lessons, to help you through that process and help you in your firearm selection so that you know, the investment that you make, which is substantial, will be a long-time investment. You'll be very happy with what you get. The other thing I wanted to mention is that yesterday, Mark reminded me that there was a rally over in Columbus that was initially put on by the Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Michael Bloomberg and his goons decided to come together and try to promote their anti-gun agenda in Columbus. And I'm going to turn the microphone over to Mark because he has some comments that he happened to be privy to relative to the participation yesterday.
Well, one of the things that you often don't get is a good solid reporting on what happened at an event like that. And I was actually kind of expecting that the broadcast media would ignore it. Now, I didn't see what was going on in the Dayton area. I didn't get to watch the news here last night, but I did see some stuff that got posted on the websites of two of the major television stations in Columbus, and both of them basically had the same kind of report, and that was that there were a few people that were supporting Mayors Against Illegal Guns, the MAG group, and there were a bunch of people that came with signs that were supporting the right to keep and bear arms, saying, you know, Bloomberg, you take your stuff, your anti-gun stuff, keep it in New York and stay away from here because we understand what the right to keep and bear arms is all about. And actually, we have somebody who is up there who has called in. So
one thing before we go to that caller, I just want to remind the listeners when Mark talks about, you know, obviously the people who are pro-gun were out in force. That shouldn't surprise any of us.
No, of course not.
Because we're out there. We know our agenda is pretty easy to promote. Theirs is very difficult to promote. And I think right now some people are starting to realize, I don't know that I want to get associated with that because it could have detrimental effects to my political career.
No, absolutely true. Let's go out and talk to Dave, who's calling in from Columbus. Dave, thanks for calling.
Thanks for having me.
So tell us a little bit from your perspective. You were there yesterday. What did you see?
Well, I saw six folks that were there for the Mayors Against Illegal Guns group. And I saw about 93 folks that were there for pro-gun and in support of Senator Rob Portman, wondering where the rest of the Mayors Against Illegal Guns group was.
Yeah. That's actually, and 93, obviously, you counted how many folks were there, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate that, because...
That's actually a peak number. We had over 100, but some folks left early and some folks arrived late. So we had over 100.
Okay, that's super. The way I saw it reported was about 5 to 50, so 10 times, and it was really closer, like 15 times. Or more, and that's super. So that's great to hear.
And again, those numbers are great.
Yeah, the media tended to leave early when nobody showed up for MAG, and our supporters just kept showing up.
That's great. And they left early because it wasn't really
the story
that they wanted to promote. But it's great. It's just another example.
We had folks coming in from Cincinnati, Toledo, Cleveland, all corners of the state. We had folks from younger folks. Nice, clean-cut kids coming in. We had folks who were open carriers. We had some older folks who were there primarily for the political side of things, where they don't believe, and I'm with them, they don't believe that Mayor Bloomberg has any business funneling money into this state, trying to sway our voters on what senator we want to vote for.
Well, Mayor Bloomberg is pretty much obstinate to all the people who tell him to mind his own business. However, he's finding out very regularly that people don't support his agenda. When he talks about the number of people in his organization, if you take that number and it's in the hundreds, okay, it's not in the thousands,
right.
And then if you compare that to the tens of thousands of cities across this country, he's already in very limited
minority.
Company. To begin with.
Dave, thanks very much. We need to take our first break for the hour, so we're going to have to let you go, but thanks very much for calling in. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro. If you'd like to be part of the show, call the studio at 457-1290. You're listening to 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Jeff Pedro in with Mark Avery. And I want to encourage any listeners out there that want to get on the show, please give us a call at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the air. A couple things I want to remind you that over the next 10 to 12 weeks, where we will be off the air most of the time with a couple of appearances, I want to make sure that you follow us either on Facebook, on our website, and or through submitting information or requests for information in our email, because there's lots of things going on right now. As you know, at the federal level, two Democratic senators have proposed legislation that is, I think, very way more likely to fail than even the last ill-advised legislation they tried to pass at the beginning of the year. But they're recommending a tax on ammo to be upwards of 50% increase, and then about 11% increase on the sale of firearms. And again, the preliminary indications is that kind of legislation is not going to go very far, but we're going to keep an eye on the progress of the proposal and whether or not it goes through committee and makes it, because we, you know, obviously we're very concerned about that. That would have a very detrimental effect to only law-abiding people, because guess what? The criminals, they're not investing any of their resources at all in the guns that they steal or illegally acquire, in the ammo, the scant amounts of ammo that they come across, even for those who commit heinous crimes, quite frankly. So, again, it would just be legislation obviously geared at the law-abiding pro-gun gun enthusiasts, and it would be ill-advised and ridiculous.
And so also, there was just this last week, there were more executive orders that were announced. And I mean, it's completely ridiculous. But this is the kind of stuff that we'll keep up on. And those of you, of course, anybody that follows the Buckeye Firearms Association website, that's another great source. And there are many great sources. But we'd like, you know, anything that we find, we will put up on our Facebook page at facebook.com/simtrainer, as well as on our own website at sim-trainer.com/radio, and send stuff out in email, so get signed up for the email list.
While you mentioned Buckeye Firearms Association, I want to give them a big thumbs up, because they were mainly instrumental in getting the crowd out at the Columbus rally yesterday, because they distributed the information, as they do so readily, biweekly, 2, 3, 4, 5 times a week. They're sending information out. Some of it's significant, some of it's just information nice to know, but I know that there's lots of good things to hear about, and they're doing a great job getting the word out, and they are, I think, the organization primarily responsible for the turnout yesterday in Columbus.
If you don't have them favorited someplace, if you don't have a buckeyefirearms.org org link in your favorites or your bookmarks, or I have my own webpage, and they have a gadget that you can put on your webpage that gives you the top five headlines of the latest articles that are there. I really recommend you do that. That's a great source of information. They do a good job. All volunteer. All the money that they used goes to that they get in donations goes to advertising and paying for the cost of the website and that sort of thing. Chad Bausch, Jim Irvine, our local guy here, Joe Eaton, and many others just do a fantastic job, and good props to them.
Yeah, and I just wanted to mention real quickly about one of President Obama's executive orders this last week. One was on the prohibition against the importation of military-grade weapons. Included in that class of weapons would be guns like the M1A, guns that are on loan or were given to the South Korean.
And they were sold to them, but they were only sold to them, and the only place they could sell them back to is the U.S., and they no longer want to keep them, and they have no place they can send them if the U.S. won't take them. It's just stupid.
And by abolishing those guns, you're taking away very, very collectible and very valuable weapons that are rich in history in this country.
All right, we're going to head over to the News Center with Daryl Bauer, but if you'd like to be on the show, call the studio at 457-1290, and we'll get you up on the board. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio, WHIO. Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip, and we're glad that you're able to join us today. Shooting from the Hip is brought to you by Sim Trainer each week, or at least will be till we get preempted by football after this week. Sim Trainer is Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center, and you can get more information about the range by calling there at 293-3914 or going out to our website at sim-trainer.com, and we'll be glad to take any questions there. You can fill in an email form, and we'll get back to you there as well. Or you can email us while we're out at radio@sim-trainer.com, and we'll be able to get those answers back to you as quickly as we can.
Mark, I just have to make another comment about the article that I was referring to before the break relative to one of President Obama's executive orders prohibiting the importation of military-grade weapons. In a joint statement issued by Mayor Bloomberg and Boston Mayor Thomas Menino, who's one of his loyal followers,
yeah, he's the co-chair.
Who's blind followers, they issued a statement, and in the statement they say, quote, "Every day, 33 people are murdered with guns in our country, and it's time for Congress to stop dragging its feet and pass common sense reforms that keep criminals and the dangerously mentally ill from illegally buying guns." Now,
What's wrong with that statement?
We know that they're talking broadly about all guns, but in this particular case, you know, particularly in reference to what they call, they like to put a negative name, military-grade weapons, seeming that these guns have no value in the civilian community. A couple things I just want to mention. They have great historical value because they were historically significant in the World War I and World War II. And they also have tremendous economic value for the collectors. And, you know, who are we? Whether you're collecting cars, you're collecting guns, you're collecting coins, that's your choice to collect what you want to collect. It's been legal forever. And for them to make the comment, these kinds of guns, by prohibiting the importation of these kinds of guns, you're going to somehow curtail crime. I want to think back, and I know there's probably an incident, and if a caller has one, go ahead and call us and let us know. I can't remember the last time an M1A was used in the commission of a mass crime, or a crime for that matter. Now, it probably has been. I got to believe it. Here's
probably before both of us were born.
Yeah, over the last several years, Camp Perry has had a shortage of guns that they've been selling to collectors and firearms enthusiasts because there's been a lot of people who have been moving in that direction. They want to shoot them in the competitive events up at Camp Perry, which is a wonderful opportunity, or they just want to own a piece of history. And to stop the importation of these guns, it's going to have little to no effect on criminal activity. And instead, it's just going to, once again, affect law-abiding citizens in their lawful quest to collect guns, enjoy shooting guns, discussing guns, showing off guns. We just had an individual come by the range, and we mentioned a couple weeks ago that has a couple of guns that were from World War II, and he showed them off, and rightfully so. And we were awed by what he brought us, and yeah. It was a great opportunity for us to share in that experience.
And for a lot of people who aren't going to be able to on their own ever have access to some of these relics, some of these pieces of history, it's an opportunity to touch something and to handle something that really is historic in terms of its influence, its what happened as a result of the fact that this technology occurred. and what that meant in order to stop bad things from happening in places like Germany. I mean, it's pretty incredible. Let's go out to the phones and talk to Jim, who's calling from Dayton. Jim, welcome to the show. All right, if I hit the button. All right, there we go. Jim, thanks for calling.
Yeah, well, thank you for taking my call. I had come down there and worked with Jeff one-on-one with some private instructions. And, of course, I walk with a walking stick, and I just renewed my CC carry permit. And the difference between when I first got it and where I am now, he really, really helped me out a lot, and I appreciate it. However, just after Martin Luther King's anniversary, they were talking here in Dayton about a big push to do this stand your ground thing and getting rid of it. And Jeff assured me that my condition, I really didn't have to worry about stand your ground, but I still am really confused about what that means to concealed carry people. And
well, Jim, thank you.
Just touch a little bit on that.
Thank you for the nice. Thank you for the nice compliment. But then, relative to stand your ground, I think you're as confused as some of us are, because stand your ground is commonly portrayed in the media as something more than it really is. And what I just want to reassure our listening audience about is when it comes down to real life situations, and Jim is a, I'm going to say he's over 59. I'm going to say for the sake of the audience, Jim, you're over 59 years of age. You mentioned you walk with a walking stick.
Hello.
Yeah,
you're here.
You're still there.
Oh,
yeah.
Didn't you hear what I was talking about?
Yes, we heard everything, Jim. I'm commenting on it now. I just wanted to let our audience know that I'm just kind of putting, I'm trying to bring stand your ground in your particular situation to life.
I
mentioned to the audience that you're over 59
Hello?
Years old and you've got a disability and you've got something going on. And for our listening audience, you got to understand, if he would be a victim of a violent crime, whether he's in his home or whether he's out on the street, or regardless of where the circumstances are, his duty to retreat is extremely limited because he's physically incapable of retreating, because he has physical limitations that make it almost impossible for him to do anything but to defend himself from a situation that he feels, if in fact those circumstances exist, that his life or someone else's life is in imminent jeopardy.
Understand that the requirement to retreat prior to use of deadly force for self-defense has an extremely important caveat written right into the law. You have a duty to retreat as you can do so safely. And if you can't do so safely, then your duty is now void. You no longer have a duty to retreat. For example, in Jim's case, where he doesn't have the capability to retreat in any sort of meaningful way and get away from a threat. Or if somebody has a firearm, unless you are going to outrun a speeding bullet, and I haven't tried that lately, but it didn't work last time, you're not going to be able to retreat from somebody that is threatening you with a firearm. So your duty to retreat becomes null and void. Now, where it could come into effect, and it really only affects what happens in court after the fact, and that is, if they eliminate the duty to retreat requirement, that means you don't have to prove that it was that you had fulfilled that duty before you tried to retreat. Now, that would still mean that the prosecutor, if the prosecutor decided that you should have done something else, and we talked a little bit about an article that was posted on the Buckeye Firearms Association website about you not doing everything else that you could to avoid a situation, that has nothing to do with duty to retreat. If you don't do what you can to avoid the situation, you could still be held liable for the damage that's caused as a result. And so the law is being made into something much more than it actually is. All they would do is eliminate the legal requirement that you have to do what you're going to want to do anyway if you have that option. And it's really not that big of a deal, but everybody's making a big deal out of it, and well, you know they're going to. So
the main thing, it was misrepresented in the Zimmerman case. Duty to or
stand your ground.
Stand your ground was not an issue in the Zimmerman case. And another thing that came out of the discussion in Florida was that over 30% of the incidents involving the lawful use of deadly force in protection of individuals' lives by African Americans were in fact based on Stand Your Ground legislation in the state of Florida. So the people that were kind of arguing against it, they didn't really pay attention to the data that was facing them. And instead, they tried to make an argument, even when factual data in the Zimmerman case indicated that wasn't the circumstance in that particular incident. And they tried to make an issue. And that's spilling over to the rest of the country. It's spilling over here in Ohio because people, they make the statement, more black youths are going to die if this legislation goes into effect. And in fact, more black youths, for that matter, since they're on the topic, are going to die regardless of the outcome of that legislation, because that's where a lot of the violence is occurring in those minority communities.
And if you're really talking about youths, we're talking about people under 21. They're not legally allowed to have a handgun. So even if you make something else illegal, you're not going to change the people who don't care about what the law is. You're not going to change by passing laws that restrict the law abiding. You're not going to affect the behavior of the people who pay no attention to the laws and have decided they're going to do whatever they're going to do, regardless of what the law says.
The bottom line is we're going to keep a very close eye on this legislation as it goes through. And I'm going to try to get at least one, maybe two. I've got a couple of attorneys I've been talking to over the last couple of weeks who want to get involved in this overall process to try to get them to come in. And one in particular wants to discuss a couple of actual cases relative to the concept of Stand Your Ground and the irrelevancy in the overall outcome based on the facts as they were presented in the particular case. And I hope that, we can get that. When we get back on the air in November, we hope we can have a good, solid understanding of how the legislation is going. I hope it just, I would like to see it go away, because as Mark says, the biggest thing is, why should a person have to even consider something like that when they're faced with very dangerous circumstances that are tense, rapidly evolving, and highly stressful to begin with? And then they got to worry whether or not I have to try to retreat before I can use deadly force and maybe take the chance I compromise my safety.
Right. And that's just the wrong thing to have to be thinking about at that time. Let's go back out to the phones and we'll talk to Warren, who's calling from Kettering. Warren, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I was wondering, is anything able to be done about Obama just making up executive orders and controlling the guns because Congress won't pass it?
Well, yes, there is something that can be done, but it's difficult. And because he was elected into that position and he does have certain executive powers and authorities, many of which he's exceeded but hasn't been stopped, one of the things that could be done would be for Congress to actually act and reverse executive orders. That has happened in the past. It's something that can be done. It requires a majority of Congress, and they will probably have to override the president's veto. So you're talking about a significant two-thirds majority of both houses in order to do that. Now, the next best opportunity that we have in order to make a situation where that becomes possible is in November of next year, when the election occurs. And the people who were asleep or who didn't vote because they didn't think they had the perfect candidate, or because they just didn't like certain aspects of certain parties' positions on things, need to recognize and pay attention to the individual candidates and say, you aren't doing the job. You're out of here. I'm going to get somebody who is going to do the job. And we need to get together as a community and make sure that the people who are representing us in Washington are really doing just that. They're representing us and our views. They're not politicians. And frankly, I don't know what the chance of success is, but that is something that would happen, that could happen, that would make a huge impact.
So it sounds to me like he can just continue to make the executive orders, and as long as nobody opposes them, they're going to stand.
Well, and that's exactly correct. That's the same thing with criminal actions, regardless who is making them. Now, please don't anybody jump in and say that I'm calling President Obama what he's doing criminal actions. I don't have enough legal understanding and constitutional knowledge to be even be able to make that call. But the point is, there are people out there who are doing criminal things, and the only things that stop them is somebody working under the color of law saying, you can't do that, that's illegal, we're going to stop that. And in this case, we have three branches of government. The White House is controlled, obviously, by the president and the Democrat Party. The Senate is half of a legislative, and they can stop anything from happening. That's also controlled by basically the anti-gun party, although, as noted earlier, the Senate wouldn't pass some of his bills anyway, which is part of the reason he's doing this. The House is already in Republican hands, but there's a program majority in both of those houses. It's just not enough to override a veto, most likely, especially when politics gets involved. And we have the Supreme Court, and that's a toss-up anymore. I have no idea what to believe about the Supreme Court. So, yeah, it's going to be tough, but we're going to have to work really hard.
Well, I really appreciate your information, but, I mean, that was kind of my opinion, but I didn't know if my opinion was right.
Well, unfortunately, I think you probably are, but that means we just need to work all the harder between now and November of next year. And you can't wait till November. You got to start now because it happens in the primaries. And if things don't happen correctly in the primaries, then we're not going to be able to get the result that we're looking for because the people that we need won't even be on the ballot in November. We need to take our last break for the hour. So if you'd like to join the show, call in quick before we run out of time. 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. If you'd like to be part of the show, be quick and call 457-1290. We'll get you up on the board. Let's go out and talk to Lynn, who's calling from Fairborn. Lynn, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. I do therapeutic work. I'm a therapist, and at any given time, I'm dealing with between 60 and 75 youth, and out of that, about three-quarters are African-American. And I can't tell you how many times that I've encountered in the counseling where the youth involved in criminal activity, and it's gun specs where they're robbing people at ATM machines. They're robbing people, women with purses. And a lot of times as I'm counseling, I'll ask them, did you ever consider that that person may have had a concealed weapon permit and pull a gun and you aiming a gun at them and shoot you? And a lot of times they will just say, you know, I never thought of that. But it's a lot of teenagers in the Greene County and Montgomery County area that I deal with. They're involved with robbing people and things like that. And they're at the age like 15, 16, 17 years old. It's just incredible. I could obviously because of confidentiality, I can't go through a lot of details, but it's just incredible how many young youth that I encounter and they've been charged with gun violation because they're robbing people and they shouldn't even have guns. So I wanted to kind of comment on that where, you know, they have the guns. They got them illegally. They shouldn't have them because they are underage, but they still have them. And then also just wondering what type of publicity would be produced if a 15, 16-year-old gets shot and killed because someone's protecting their life. Lynn, so I just wanted to comment on that.
Lynn, thanks. Thank you for your comments. I'd like you to stay on the line, and after the show, I'd like to speak with you because I got some questions I want to ask you relative to your level of expertise and your professionalism. But I just want to mention, I want to ask you just real quickly, what do you attribute as the single most significant factor in these problems that you're mentioning relative to gun violence among these youth?
We lost him.
We'll get that. I'm going to get him on the phone because I'm really curious about that. There's an individual that's involved in the counseling of these people. And, you know, we can talk about symptoms all the time, but we got to find out what the root cause is. And we got to start moving toward a solution to the root cause, not gun control, because that's not the root cause.
And that's not the solution. Because everything that they're doing is already illegal.
Making it more illegal is not going to help. And they continue to say that that's the way they're going to solve their problem is by more rigid gun control. And there's most rigid gun control in the states. Certain cities where it's the worst and it's doing no good at all.
All right. Jim is calling from Moraine. Let's go out and talk to him. Jim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for taking my call. A couple weeks ago, the UN Small Arms Treaties was shot down by the Senate, like about 7 or 8 votes. But I didn't hear any report from the news media on this. Did you guys hear anything about it?
I had heard that it had not passed, and then as far as I know, it had not signed either. So what I understand was that there was a resolution that was sent basically saying don't sign this, and it hasn't been signed as far as I know. Then, but, you know, again, as long as that treaty sits out there, the president could sign it at any time, and then it would go to ratification in the Senate, and we don't know what that Senate might look like. Again, taking me back to my rant before the commercial about how important it is that we pay attention to what's going on in politics, that we make sure that we know that the people that we're sending to represent us are really going to do that.
Yeah. And, you know, that's
okay,
a concern.
Okay, I just wanted to report that. Like I said, the Senate voted down like 7 votes, I believe it was. And
right.
I didn't hear anything on the news media about it.
Yeah, there's a lot of speculation right now that the president was going to try to go ahead and sign that treaty while Congress was out of session and kind of backdoor the whole process. But we've not heard anything to that effect yet. There's just a lot of information that's being sent across the internet to that effect. But we'll follow that. And obviously that alone won't be too damning, but the potential fallout could be a concern, and we need to follow that.
Jim, thanks very much for calling the show. We do want to wrap things up here pretty quick. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, so we want to give you some heads up on stuff that's going on between now and when we get back.
I just want to remind our listeners, we're not in any way, shape, or form promoting single-issue voting. Certainly, Second Amendment issues and guns are an issue, but what's really interesting about people who are pro-gun is that when it comes to issues such as the impact, our financial situation, or individual rights, pay attention to the way they're trying to violate gun rights and see how that has spilled over into other Fourth Amendment, First Amendment, Fifth Amendment violations over the last several months. So it's not just a one issue that they're attacking. It's kind of a pattern of behavior. And I think that the people who promote the agenda that we promote, the pro-gun movement, they're also looking at other issues and continue to do so and don't just focus strictly on the gun-related matters.
Thanks very much for being a part of the show, and we will be back with you at the Dayton Women's Fair on the 21st of September. You can join us actually on site there, and we'd be glad to meet you and see you there. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio WHIO.